First scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
From 2 Samuel 7, 1 through 13. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it. The Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from your enemies. The Lord declares that the Lord will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will rise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. If you could have any superhero power, what would it be? A few of my friends and I were hanging out and talking, and this question came up. We all shared what our heart's desire would be and what particular power we would choose. And then one of my friends took it a little further. He said when he was in late elementary, early middle school, he asked God, closed his eyes, stood in front of a tree, and said, "God, if you are real, please give me the power to shoot lasers out of my eyes like Cyclops and the X-Men." And he said, "Amen." And he opened his eyes, and to his dismay, no lasers came out. We all chuckled, and as a grown man with kids of his own, he realized that God not blessing him with that power was actually a good thing. But that 11, 12-year-old boy was very sad and disappointed in God. And handling disappointments is sometimes something we all have various experiences in. And I know as the country shut down in March in 2020, I had already purchased several sporting event tickets, concert tickets, and even a trip to go to Missouri, where we would see the St. Louis Cardinals play. Our church and for our youth group, we had our spring break planned, and we were getting ready for our summer missions trip. All of that was canceled. Many of you have experienced disappointments and canceled vacations, flights, cruises, trips to see families and friends. 2020 definitely handed out its fair share of disappointments. But the majority of those disappointments faded quickly because our perspective quickly changed. In 2020, people were dying, so losing out on tickets paled in comparison. Many daily disappointments are far less significant. We miss a yellow light and have to stop at red. The McDonald's ice cream machine isn't working when we particularly order it. Yeah, like, right. And also, Walmart only has two registers open and a long line to wait in. These disappointments we can easily get over. But what happens when life throws real disappointments our way? How do we handle them? How do we treat people involved in them? Do we work through them? Do we move on? Or do we stay fixated in them? Our scriptures today, I believe, give us examples of people handling disappointments. According to the readings in 2 Samuel, David was adapted to his new life in the palace, and his heart desire was to give God a place and to worship and a place where God would be. Now, back in those days, the kings and the pharaohs, once established in a palace like David was, usually they would have delusions of grandeur and start calling themselves a god, but not David. David loved God. David wanted to build God a house. This was on David's heart, and Nathan told David that God didn't need a house, but instead that God would build a house through David that would last forever. This word house in Hebrew is bayit, and it can be translated as a house or a dwelling place, or a house as a family or descendants. So there's wordplay that God and David are having here. Nathan told David that this house he wanted to build for God wasn't needed, but his descendants would end up building a temple. And even though David wouldn't get to fulfill that was on his heart, that God would have something even better planned for David, that God would build a house through David that would last forever. Have you ever had to watch someone else get promoted when you really wanted that position? Have you ever had to be Nathan and tell someone the news that would lead to disappointment or heartache? We can all feel the tension in the room, but then Nathan's compassion for David changes his perspective. God reminds David all that God had done for him, from the pasture to the palace, from the shepherd to the king of God's people. God reminds David that God has been with him every step of the way in this journey, and that God wasn't going to leave David anytime soon. In the end, God's promise is greater than David's plan. God offers that same perspective to us if we are willing to see it. In the middle of heartbreaking news, life-changing events, God reminds us of our journey. God will never abandon us either. God has something better in store than we could ever plan. How we handle them is important. Most of the time, there are people directly connected and linked to the disappointments in life. And it is a challenge to control our emotions, think rationally, and not leave a wake of destruction behind. Here are some proverbs there on our screen that are written to help people get through disappointments. You will end up really disappointed if you think people will do for you as you do for them. Not everyone has the same heart as you. Sometimes when you get disappointed, it makes you stronger. Nothing hurts more than being disappointed by the person you thought would never hurt you. One best success comes after their greatest disappointments. Interwoven in these proverbs is an outcry to change one's perspective. David's perspective was changed, and the same thing happened to Jesus and his disciples. They were handed disappointment in this text. But before the text begins, Jesus sends out the 12 on a missionary journey. That is found in Mark 6:6-13. So they're out, and then they come together in our text, verse 30. Jesus gathers them back into camp, and they're telling their stories. I have been a part of many campfires, coffee house tables, porch nights, late night back home groups, camp reflection times, and the list goes on. And these conversations are always amazing. They also bring with it soul-filling time that changes the whole group. Sharing stories with our friends, with students on a missions trip, with family members that we haven't seen in a long time, these are some of life's most precious moments. Jesus was doing that with his disciples, and the crowd started to gather and interrupt. Jesus wanted to continue these conversations in a private area, so he instructed them to get a boat and go to a solitary place. The awesome thing about Scripture is that we experience situations that are laid out in it, and that we are connected to these stories as well. Have you ever walked into a restaurant with your family only to be disappointed with the atmosphere? Our family loves to go out to eat, and there are sometimes when we are expecting one thing and we experience something totally different. I think we all have encountered a place that has loud music or too many people so the noise level is raised, or the wait is too long to be seated, or not enough room for our party. Jesus and his disciples experienced the same thing. As they approached the solitary place to relax and of comfort, eager to continue their stories, a large crowd gathers around them. And you can hear Andrew's disappointment as they come up on the boat. Oh man, I was up next. And you can hear Peter's stomach grumbling as he mumbles, "There goes our quiet meal together." But one thing that they had that we share is they had Jesus. And Jesus quickly changes their perspective. As Jesus looks at this crowd with compassion, the Bible says, Jesus thinks to himself, "These people are like sheep without a shepherd." And he kept his perspective on the people and not on himself. He began teaching them and sharing with them. In our life, when we interact with people, despite the situation, if we have compassion in our hearts, we can face disappointment differently. Jesus models this for us here. And there's an old Jewish saying that I'm sure the disciples remembered. The saying goes, follow your rabbi so closely that his dust is on your cloak. Is the dust of our rabbi evident to the people we encounter? His teachings, his compassion, his mercy, his humility, his perspective, his grace, his love needs to be evident in our life. The goal of the boat ride was to find a solitary place to continue their conversation and to fellowship. What they encountered was a large crowd gathered to spend time with them too. The disappointment of one thing led to the amazing opportunity a little later as Jesus with his disciples would feed 5,000 people. Often life works out that way with Jesus, doesn't it? Just when we get disappointed because one door closes, another one, even better, opens. Just when we think we are forced to make new plans, we discover that the plans are better than what we could have made for ourselves. Sounds a little bit like David, doesn't it? With God's help, we too can have the same outlook during life's disappointments, especially when it comes to our relationships and situations that don't go the way that we desire. Holding compassion close to our hearts is a key to allowing disappointments to dissipate. Our culture is full of examples of disappointments. It is something that we are humanly connected to. Whether it's in movies, music, paintings, books, magazines, poems, we all share this connection. But I pray that we look at things with a godly perspective, and we have a Savior that walks with us, carries us, encourages us, and shows us compassion so that we in turn can do the same for others. Amen. Our perspective through disappointments in life is important. God gives us opportunities to share with others in the middle of their disappointments. It is our charge to bring compassion of Christ into the lives of the world, see people where they're at, and walk with them through life. As you go from this place, be mindful of compassion, humility, and grace when we face life disappointments. God will be with us every step of the way, and it is through our relationship and connection with Jesus we can face these difficult times in our life. Amen.